Our sermon text today, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning in the 67th verse, reading on through verse 80. This is the story of John the Baptist's birth and the words that his father spoke upon the birth of his son. His father's was Zacharias. Let us hear God's word. Now, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Thus far ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Well, this is a scripture that speaks of the birth of John the Baptist, and that may seem to you to be an odd place to go to find something of resurrection, the story of the resurrection, or the idea of the resurrection. And John the Baptist, of course, was the one who is the forerunner of the Messiah and the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the cousin of Jesus, and it was his responsibility to prepare the people's hearts for the coming of the message of Jesus the Christ. In the immediate aftermath of John the Baptist's birth, Zacharias prophesied, his father. And he said many different things about God's provision and his blessing to his people. But when you get down to verse 76, he starts talking about his son, his own son. And he says, you'll be called the prophet of the Most High, and you will prepare his ways before him. You will talk to them about salvation. You will talk to them about the remission of sins. And then he says, all of this is a result of the tender mercy of our God. The tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. And it's that phrase, the day spring from on high, visiting us, that I'd like to draw our attention to, because embedded within that phrase and the subsequent verse, verse 79, is the idea of God bringing light to the darkness and the darkness being overcome by the light. But we have to describe those terms. We have to understand those terms in the way in which they're being used here. There, of course, are many other passages we could talk about regarding the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I often remarked the first time I heard this, I couldn't believe it, so I had to go try it out for myself. But there, you know, there are only two gospel stories about the birth of Christ, the Matthew 1 and the Luke 1. But there are over, I think it's 14 or 15 different references to his resurrection throughout the scriptures. And so there are many, many testimonies to the resurrection of Christ in the Bible, and many which are familiar with you. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in the first verse, he says, I declare my gospel which I preach to you. And then skipping down a few verses, he says, I deliver to you first of all which I have also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures, he was buried, and he rose again according to the Scriptures. Now, at the time when Paul wrote that, the Scriptures were only the Old Testament. And it's very easy to go into numerous passages of God's Word in the Old Testament to find references to God saving his people from their sin. Isaiah 53 is a primary example of such a passage. But there aren't as many instances in the Old Testament where you get a picture of the resurrection of Christ. In fact, they're quite rare in the Old Testament. But Paul says, my gospel is according to the Scriptures. The gospel of salvation, of paying for our sins, and the gospel that includes the resurrection from the dead. And so we're left to think about, and in some ways it's a marvelous little exercise to go through the Old Testament and think, where are there passages that talk about the resurrection? And then, of course, there will be a couple that will come pretty close to your thoughts very quickly. One, of course, is the story of Jonah, which we talked about this morning, earlier, where he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights, and then he's spewed out. Jesus himself uses that example and says, this is the only sign the adulterous and wicked generation is going to receive. Son of Man will be, just like Jonah in the belly of the fish for 3 days, the Son of Man will be spewed out. will be in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights as well. And then, as you study a little bit more, you might begin to understand that the book of Ruth, in many ways, and particularly the story of Boaz and his activity as the kinsman redeemer, is also a picture of not only redemption, but it's a picture of giving life to the dead, for truly Boaz's actions would preserve Elimelech and the two sons of one of Ruth's husbands would preserve their heritage, would preserve their life in Israel, even though they had lost, even though they were dead. But they would still have a heritage in Israel because of what Boaz would do, the kinsman redeemer. And then you have this series of numerous passages in the Old Testament that are connected to the thought of the day spring. The day spring. And that brings us right to Zechariah's statement here in verse 78. And I'd like to just share some of those passages. The word dayspring means daybreak, sunrise, the dawn of the morning. The dayspring on high hath visited us. And there are a number of passages which talk about the coming of salvation, God bringing salvation, as it were the sharing or the pouring out of the sun. We just read one, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, it doesn't say day spring there, but if daybreak and sunshine are what day spring means, it's talking about light coming, and it's talking about glory being risen upon thee. And then it goes on to say, darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen, and even the Gentiles shall come to that light, the kings to the brightness of thy rising. So that Isaiah passage is a prophecy. It's a prophecy of the day of the Lord. It's a prophecy when the Lord returns, that he will bring light that overcomes darkness. See the connection to day spring? Sunrise. It'll be his brightness will overcome even the darkness. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 is another passage, related passage. It's spoken of in terms of judgment and judgment of the wicked, but notice that there's a contrasting blessing for the righteous. Malachi 1 and 2, let me read that. Behold, the day shall come, and that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, those who do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. It shall leave them neither root or branch, but unto you that fear my name. Contrast between the wicked and those who fear the Lord's name. The wicked shall be burned as stubble, but unto you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And notice, if you will, the word sun there is not S-O-N, it's S-U-N. Sunrise, daybreak, day spring. When the sunrise, the day spring comes, healing will come in his, as it were, in his wings. So there are a couple of Old Testament places where you get a little bit of an echo of the idea of the resurrection being, and one of them has to do with day spring, another has to do with sunshine, light, great light shining and overcoming the darkness. Day spring, which refers to a normal sunshine, is clearly being used as a metaphor. It's used as a metaphor for God, who brings light, brings the light of the gospel that shines in the darkness of our sin-filled minds and the darkness of our sin-filled world. If you want to, you can say Christ is our sunrise. He is our sunshine. It's that, Zechariah, when he says, the day spring on high has visited us. And you see, John the Baptist is in preparation for that visit. And when Christ comes, he is the day spring on high. But then that still leaves another issue. And what is it that the day spring, what's the connection between the day spring on high, who visits us and brings light, and brings the light of the gospel, brings life? What is it that, how does that connect with Christ's resurrection? Again, look at verse 76. Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. John the Baptist shall be the prophet of Christ. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give the knowledge of salvation to the people by the remission of their sins. So John the Baptist is the child that his father is speaking of. He's the forerunner who comes before Christ to prepare the way of Christ, and he will focus the people on the need for repentance of sin in order that they might have salvation and that they might hear the good news of Christ that is about to soon proclaim it. In verse 78, Zechariah further says that this coming salvation from God is due to the tender mercy of our God, which the dayspring from on high has visited us. He connects God's tender mercy with the visit of the dayspring on high. Only because of God's tender mercy and compassion on us poor and wretched sinners is there any Savior at all. Is there any light and life of the gospel? The dayspring from on high visiting us is Zechariah's example of God's tender mercy, a mercy which other passages in the New Testament expand on. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he has loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath, Old Testament, King James, quickened us. What does quickening mean? Make alive. He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together. Along with the mercy, the great mercy of God, the light shines, life comes, and resurrection. It's all there. And then it goes on to say, and made us, Ephesians 2, verse 6, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The sending of the only begotten Son, a part of God's tender mercy, is so that we might live. So that we might live. In other words, so that we might not continue to die in sin. In the coming of the dayspring on high, it's not just an evidence of God's tender mercy upon us, but he also quickens us. He makes us alive. He gives us new life. An integral part to our new life is the new light, L-I-G-H-T, the dayspring shines upon his people. Verse 79 of Luke chapter 1, to give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Listen to that again. Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our peace. Now, here, Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and a gross darkness over the people. Darkness. Darkness, in this context, is a metaphor. Another metaphor. You got one for light, you got another one for darkness. What does darkness represent? It represents sin. There is gross darkness in the world because of sin. All men live in sin, therefore all men live in spiritual darkness. There is darkness all around us. In fact, this is the only place and places like it where the Word of God is preached and the Christians gather to worship God, where there is light in this world. Everywhere else is darkness. Everywhere, even though the light's shining so brightly today, Everything out there is moral and spiritual darkness. It is a pathetic condition that sin brings to mankind. Darkness. Enslaved by darkness. Enslaved, blinded by darkness. Separated from God by darkness. Lost, abandoned, spiritually dead because of sin and darkness. But into your dark world, the light of God shines in Christ. And that's not just, that's your world as a person, and that's this world as an entity. The light of the gospel of Christ shines. Christ is the light, and his light shines. It's testimony to God's mercy to the pathetic, sinful creatures who are spiritually dead. Physically alive, yes, but doomed to everlasting death as the curse for our sin. And that curse maintains its deadly grip on us. But God, in his mercy, loves his people so much that he sends to his elect Jesus the Christ, the day spring, the light. Listen to how John, in the opening of his gospel, describes Jesus. Verse 4 of John 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. His is the light, which is life giving. Just as our sun up there in the sky rises and gives light, it also gives life to the earth around us. So God's Son, Jesus Christ, rises upon us and gives light and life to his people, as the glory of God radiates to all men without favoritism. The light of Christ overwhelms the darkness. Overwhelms the darkness. Just as the sun's rays warm the soil and promote the conditions for life with regular garden plants, those of you who are gardeners know, and we're right at that period of time when when we want to go out and plant those tomatoes, you know, and they say, don't plant them yet because the soil is still cold and it'll retard their growth. Wait until the sun warms the soil. The light of Christ gives the warmth of eternal light, life to his people. Can the darkness in which we live continue unchecked? Can the darkness of sin continue unchecked? The answer is no, because the day spring has risen and shined the light upon us. The darkness of sin has been penetrated. It has been breached by the light of the gospel of Christ. And it is that gospel that triumphs in the resurrection. Christ rises, you see, from the cold, dark deadness of the grave. And once death has been breached by the light of Christ, there is no stopping the light from spreading. I know it looks like an impossible task sometime, but greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is the light than the darkness. The impact on the believing children of the Lord Jesus Christ is clear, as Malachi chapter 4, 2 and 3 describes that impact. But unto you who fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, rise with healing in his wings. What do we need to be healed from? The ravages of sin. He comes and arises with healing in his wings. You shall go forth and grow up like calves of the stall. The healing of sin's effect and the suffering that goes with sin comes to those who fear the name and believe in the Son of Righteousness. So great is the spiritual healing that we're depicted as calves frolicking. I don't know what that image is because I've not been around farms where they have calves, but I guess they do it. but it pictures a happy, carefree life. We go forth and we conquer with the gospel of Christ, defeat the darkness that so easily enslaves us. With resurrection life, you've been born to new life. And the resurrection declares that Christ is the supreme conqueror of all. He has conquered the greatest enemy of all, even death. Christ's resurrection declares that he conquered death not merely for himself, but you too. Because you, by faith, are united to him in his death and resurrection. If Christ conquers death, he must bring life. And 1 Corinthians 15:45 declares that truth. It is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. A life-giving spirit. In one sense, the darkness still continues around us. Sin is all around. But the light of Christ's dayspring gospel still shines. It shines to the world. It can never be extinguished because it is the source of light and life. Jesus, the dayspring on high, is immortal. And for all the world of darkness that refuses to bow down to the Son of Righteousness and find healing in his wings, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a warning. It is the only sign this generation is going to get. The victory of Christ over sin and death will destroy those who refuse to believe in the new light and life that Christ brings. Just as the sun destroys things when things get too hot and it shines upon them and there is no water. Just this past week, my wife put a fern out on the back table. Just this past week, and it hasn't been that hot. Put a fern out on the back table, and I went out and looked at it yesterday. It's no longer green. All the green is gone. It's been bleached away. And it's drying. It's drying. I don't think it can recover. Just as the sun destroys when it gets close to things and it's too hot, the day spring on high will overwhelm all who cannot stand the light of the gospel, cannot stand the radiance of God's eternal light and glory. To the world, hear, repent, and believe in Christ. As Malachi 4:1 reminds us, behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, will be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root or branch. But for you who believe in the Son of Righteousness, hear what Revelation 22:16 says. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him that thirsts, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Take the light and life of the day spring and share him with others until he comes, that they too might take of the water of life freely. Amen. And let us pray. Most gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your many blessings unto us, gift of life eternal, the gift of the light of your Son. Father, how we would pray, Lord, that we might demonstrate that thankfulness by living in this world for you and reflecting your glory to the world. And by, Lord, proclaiming the truth of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, one who conquers sin and death, by proclaiming that truth to the world that we live in, which is dying without Christ. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.